We turn again to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. I'm going to read the first six verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us acceptable in the beloved. Let us give him thanks again. We thank thee, O God, for your word. And we plead, O Savior, that may you speak to us through your word. Indeed, Lord, we depend on thee and rely only on thy strength. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Here is Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. This city was given to idol before. You remember that they worship idol and they constructed a big temple for idol that was one of the ancient wonders of the world. Praise be to God for his glorious gospel that reached this city of Ephesus, and the church is born here. And Paul is writing to them and is calling them the saints which are at Ephesus. The saints, the holy one, the separate one, that God has separated unto himself from the worship of Artemis and idol, and they now belong to God. The word saints is not given to people who have done great things and died. Here we are seeing there are people who are alive, Paul writing to them, but they are saints because God have called them out of the world unto himself. And so he writes to them and he calls them the saints. What a blessing it is that this is not only to the Ephesian church, but even to you who believe. But even you who don't believe, today and now, he can turn you. He can change your heart. He can draw you to himself. And you can be one of the saints. And so, he writes to these people who were formerly dead in their sins and trespasses. And especially in verse 3, he burst into praise. He burst into thankfulness to God. He says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." He's so happy that God has blessed us. And he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. The blessings here are called spiritual. They cannot be seen with our eyes. They are not materials. They are not wealth. Like a country where I come from, people are poor. And sometimes they may think, even believers, that they are not blessed. But Apostle Paul here is saying, no, it's not material. It's not those things that we see with our eyes. The blessings are spiritual blessings. And all of them, all of spiritual blessings, he's going to mention them. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It doesn't mean in the sky. We are not no longer in heavens. But it means in the state of grace where we are in the sphere where we are with our beloved Lord and Savior, even Christ. All the blessings of God are there. And so, tonight I just want to talk, I'll be talking to you about the blessing of predestination. The blessings of predestination. That word predestination, people fear it, yet it is in the Bible. It appears 6 times in the Bible. If you go home, you can read Acts of Apostles, chapter 21, verse 28. The things that they were trying to stop apostles from preaching, but they were trying to stop that which God purposed, determined, even before the foundation of the world. And again, you read in the book of Romans, chapter 8, from verse 29 to 30, you read that list, those God predestinated. So, is the word appears 6 times. And here at in the book of Ephesians, we have seen chapter 4, we'll see in chapter 5, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ. And again, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So it's not a word that we should not shy away from. It is a biblical terminology. It means that God marked us out even before the foundation of the world. It means that God planned for us. He planned for us. You know how parents try to plan for their children. Nowadays, they try to plan even before they are born. And what an amazing father and mother it is that purpose to you for you and plan for you, even your very birth. And so this word really encourages us that God planned for us. God marked us out even before the foundation of the world. And what is a great blessing it is that God singled us, even you, even me, he singled us, and that's why we are in him. So he's saying here, number one, a blessing or predestination is that he predestinated us unto adoption of the children. So number one blessing of predestination is adoption. It's adoption. He marked us out. He planned for us to be adopted as his children. That is the closest fellowship ever. Many of us can fight to be close to the Prime Minister of UK. But I'm telling you, the closest relationship ever is that God planned for us to be adopted into his family as his children. So we may not have the earthly blessing or materials, but God marked us out to be his children. What does that mean? When God marked us out to be his children, it means this, that eternal God is our Father. Eternal God who created this world out of nothing. God who is holy, God who is righteous, God who is exalted, God who is all-powerful, is now our Father. And that's a great blessing to us. And it can be a greatest blessing to you who will look to the Lord Jesus Christ this hour for salvation, that eternal God is our Father. You remember when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, with the Lord taught his disciples how to pray. He told them, when you pray, say, Father, our Father who is in heaven. That now God is our Father. And he's our Father. And he is in heaven. He reigns. And you remember, he is our Father only through the Lord Jesus Christ, through adoption, which he has done in Christ. And therefore, he is our Father. And we call him our Father who is at in heaven. Can we please look at Matthew? Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, I'll look from verse 32. He's telling them, the Lord Jesus Christ telling his disciples not to worry what they will eat, what they'll drink. And here he says, for after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth ye, you have need of all these things. So it's our Father, and he knows even our needs, even the things that we need, and he's telling them not to worry. And again, if you look at chapter 7, verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So, he is our Father. He is our Father. Adoption means that the Lord Jesus Christ, through him and through his salvation, God is now our Father. Dear friends, this is a very unique thing that God has done to us. It is not in other religion. It is only here, in the glorious gospel of our Lord, that you see that God is our Father. If you ask, even a Muslims, they'll tell you God is great and far away removed. Allahu Akbar, he's so great and far, far, far removed beyond us. Yes, we believe he's transcendent. But as the Bible revealed, he's also near us. He's near us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been adopted, and we are now God's children. And that's a great blessing of adoption. Being adopted also means that we now have got new names. We are not who we used to be. We have been given a new name. To those who believe him in him, those who receive him, he gave them power to be called children of God. They are not born of human flesh or human will. They are born of God. They are now called God's children. What a greater blessing that we have been adopted into the family. And we are now called the children of God. You know, John, he's now an old man. And he's writing 1 John. And he's captivated by the fact that God has adopted us. If you just look 1 John chapter 3. Hear him talking. Adoption, that we have been given a new name. Formerly we were sinners. And we were dead and lost in our sins. We were children of wrath. We were object of doom. Having been made God's children, we have got a new name. We are now called children. Look at John, first letter of John chapter 3. Behold, he's telling us, pause.
and see, look and see, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. What a great love it is, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. He is amazed. He's wondering. He's upon wonder. And wondering the great thing that God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we are children of God. Brethren, we are blessed. Brethren, we are blessed. We have been given a name that the world cannot give us. A name that nothing can give us. A name that we have been given because he marked us out. He singled us out before the foundation of the world. Oh, if you are not in him, you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ told the Jews. You are of your father, the devil. You don't have that name. You belong to the devil. And I'm beseeching you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why belong to the enemy when the door is open and he's calling any to come and put their trust upon him? Another thing which he has done to us is this: because of being adopted, we have got a family, a new family now. In Mark, let me just look, Mark, turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark 10. Mark 10, verse 30. Peter asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "Oh, we have left all things. Lord, what will we get? We have left all things to follow you." And the Lord Jesus Christ answered, and in verse 30 he said this: "But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren, sisters and mothers and children and land, with persecution in the world to come eternal life." So you are seeing, we have got a new family. He promised brethren, sisters, mothers, children. We now have a family. Because we are adopted, that's why I come to Kenya and I call you brother. I call you sister. We are here because we have been adopted into family. And we belong to the family of God. It's sad that we no longer long and yearn for Sunday to meet with our families, to gather together, to eat together, to fellowship together, to sing together, and encourage one another. We are families, a closer families. The Lord has adopted us into family and he has separated us from the world. As pastor preach on Sunday, to belong to him now, people who are separated, and the world hate us. And then I come to church and you don't even greet me, and you don't bother even to know how I'm doing, and how your sister is doing, and how your brother is doing. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. We are families. Because we have been adopted now, we are family. And that's why I could hear you praying even for brethren, not only from this continent, not only from UK, and all over. Dear friends, we are family. And that's why causing division in the church is a bad thing. You are breaking the family of God. We long to be one. We long to forgive one another very quickly and embrace one another and pray for one another and visit one another and call one another, even over the phone. Text them. Find out how they are doing. Let us encourage one another. We have been blessed with great blessing. And God has not just left us alone. He has put us into one big family. The family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the blessing which we have of adoption. another blessing, because as a result of being adopted, we now have a new image, being conformed to the image of his son. You remember Romans chapter, we normally start reading it from verse 28. Romans chapter 8 from verse 28. We know all things work together for good for those who love God, who have been called in accordance to his purpose. And then, so that we may be conformed to his image. So we are being made more and more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. As we pay attention to the means of grace, we pray together, read the word, have personal devotion, and we seek his face. He's making us more and more and more and more to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not the old man. We are no longer in Adam. We are now being formed in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, we have inheritance. We have got inheritance. We are heirs. I don't know whether I pronounce it clearly, because we sometimes confuse those words. Heirs. We are heirs of God. I don't have time to go through them all, but you remember Peter talks of our inheritance, which cannot be defiled. They are so great, superior even to the blessing of the Old Testament saints, because the land, they defile the land. But the inheritance which we have in Christ Jesus, we cannot defile. They cannot be defiled, incorruptible. Does not fade away, and kept in heaven for us. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17, we are heirs of God and heirs together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, beloved brethren, we are people who have been blessed. Number one blessing of predestination is that we have been adopted into the family of God. And all those benefits that I've mentioned are ours because we have been adopted. God is now our Father. We have been given a new name. We belong to a new family. We have got an image, being made more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have got inheritance. Yes, inheritance. The Lord Jesus promised, I am not leaving. He said, he told the disciples, their heart not be troubled, but believe in God. And he promised that, and him, in his Father's house, there are many mansions, he promised. So we are heirs together with him. What a blessing we have. They are spiritual. They are spiritual in nature. And so we don't need to fight. We don't need social justice gospel. We don't need it. We don't need it. We don't need it. We are adopted into the family of God. And we no longer have the barriers that were there have been broken. And we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then something else which I want to say is this, to God regarding adoption, is this. We go back to Ephesians. Back to Ephesians. Blessed be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. So, we are seeing, second thing which we are seeing here, is that God alone is responsible for our adoption. God alone is responsible for our adoption. Look at verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
So you are seeing God has chosen us. He is the one who has elected us, selected us from the world of sinners to belong to himself. And not only that, he has chosen us in love. So election and predestination was not just done carelessly. It is done, God is the one who has chosen us in love. He marked us out of love. So when people normally think about predestination or our adoption, they don't think about the love of God in it. But God chose us in him in love, the love that is beyond degree, the love that is loving than lovable. So our adoption, as we can see here, God is the one who is responsible for it. Left to ourselves, we could not come in. Left to ourselves, we could never have persuaded or convinced ourselves. But we are seeing he chose us out of his own love. And so adoption and this blessing is a blessing that springs from the multicolored love of God. The love of God that is beyond degree is the reason why we are adopted. And not only that, look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ to himself. So we are seeing he did it through his son. Look even that love more explained to us. Look, example Abraham was almost to give out the son of his love. You remember his only son, Isaac, the son that he loved. But he's seeing, look how God is giving us his son in Christ. He's responsible. He's the one who sent the Lord Jesus Christ to come and redeem us and save us and adopt us into his family. So our adoption is by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he adopted us unto himself. So it is done through his begotten son. It is done through our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So God is responsible. When I was young, my grandfather did not have a great concept of God those days. He will say that no, God is angry with men, it's only Christ who loves us. But dear friends, that's not true. God, by sending his son, by the Lord Jesus going to the Calvary cross, he was motivated by love. Oh, what a love that the Father has loved us, that he gave his only begotten son, even Christ, to go to the cross of Calvary and die for us. So we are adopted not just through a mere mortal man. We are adopted through his son, who is God and who is man. That's how we have been adopted. And we need to be grateful and thankful to God. Then another thing that shows that God alone is responsible for adoption is in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us acceptable in the beloved. He has made us acceptable in the beloved. And then verse 11, in whom also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So he's responsible. He did it in the counsel, in accordance to his own will. Sometimes we think that it is us
It is us, it is our will. And you can hear many people saying, I chose him, I decided. But no, God is responsible. We, yes, we are responsible, we responded, but we responded because of his own will. He worked in us. He made us willing to come to him. And he can make you willing tonight to come to him. And then, the last thing which I want to say is this. Because of all this, God alone must receive praise. You saw that in verse 1. God alone, verse 6. God alone must receive praise. To the praise of the glory of his grace, where he has made us acceptable in the beloved. When we think of our adoption, the glory and the praise go back to God alone. And dear brethren, are we praising God? Are we full of gratitude to God because of our adoption? In fact, the words which are used there is the grace, the glory of his grace. Grace is unmerited favor, a favor that we don't earn or work for. Many years back, I read a good illustration about the grace of God, and I have given this example over and over. It is like Jacob when he was going to meet Esau. You remember he took everything from Esau, and Esau was ready to fight him. And so Jacob, going back to his father's land, was so afraid of his brother Esau that he divided the family into two. He said, if he killed this family, this one will survive. You remember he remained behind and wrestled with the Lord. But when they met, the unexpected happened. Instead of war, he was expecting war. Instead of war, Esau embraced him and kissed him. And they wept. That's the grace we have received. We were heading to damnation, to condemnation, to hell. But God outstretched his arms, and by grace he received us unto himself. And when we think at that grace that has reached us, oh, we give God glory and we praise him because of his grace that has reached us. That even you are adopted. Even me, adopted unto his family by grace. And so we praise the Lord and we thank him. In fact, we can burst the way Paul is bursting here. When Paul thought of this blessing, he burst into praise and say, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all. So he burst into praise. In fact, it's not only praise, it's a reverence praise. Blessed be to God. And this God is Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is full of gratitude to God for what God has done to him. My fellow believers, are we grateful to God for the blessings that are ours in Christ? Do we sometimes go on our knees, maybe privately, and wonder of his grace and mercies, and that we are now adopted into this great family of God, and that we shall be with him forever and ever? And he did it for his own glory and his own divine pleasure, not because of anything he saw good in us or anything we promised to do. He did it for his own glory. And so our hearts ought to yearn with gratitude and thanksgiving in our hearts. May the Lord bless his word. Let us come to him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for the grace that is ours in Christ. And as we read, O Father, what you have done to us in Christ, we are amazed. Lord, we don't deserve it at all, but you are a gracious and a merciful God. May you please help us to live for you and live for your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome, Pastor.